If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
I can't give you what you want, if that's all right. So if you stay with me tonight, I apologize, yeah. And if you're wanting something real, you gotta know just how I feel. Oh, and that's why, that's why I tell you why. I got love to share, but none to spare.
You've been listening to Love to Spare featuring A.J. Croach from Nikki Bloom's forthcoming record, Avondale Drive, due out in early June. This is Nikki's second solo record, a follow-up to her 2018 record, To Rise, You Gotta Fall. Nikki has been a mainstay in the jam band adjacent communities for years, and I've been a fan since her awesome van sessions that she did with her old band, the Gramblers. Now, this native Californian makes her home in Nashville, and Avondale Drive marks a new chapter in Bloom's life. We sat down to talk about the new record, but first, I admittedly gushed about her performance of the Grateful Dead's Sunrise with Phil Lesh and Bob Weir back at Lock-In 2017.
Thanks so much for doing this. Really appreciate it. I've been a fan of yours going back to the van sessions and, well, even before that, so I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
As a matter of fact, I saw you perform Sunrise with either Phil and Friends or Phil and Bob, and I thought it was actually one of the best performances of that song ever, like even better than Donna's performance of that song. Like,
stop.
No, seriously. No. I actually hate that song, but when you played it, when you did it, it was really good. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. I'm nervous about that, actually.
Really? Why?
It's a hard song. Range is hard, and they don't change keys, nor should you, when you're recreating a record. That was actually at Lock-In,
right?
And it was Phil and Bob on stage, and they did all of Terrapin Station. And yeah, I remember being like, oh yeah, Donna has a song on this, I guess I'm gonna sing it. And then I you know, started studying it more in depth and realized like, oh, this is actually kind of a hard song. So thank you. That means a lot.
As long as it's not France, which is her other big song with Bobby, we're in good shape.
Yes.
But let's talk about Nikki Bloom, actually. Avondale Drive was recorded, I guess, or started to, you started to record it in 2020. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine because of the pandemic and everything else that was going on, it was sort of delayed for a bit. How is that for an artist? You know, we've had several artists on to talk about recording during the pandemic, and you have this baby that you're itching to show the world, and you can't for so long, right? How was that?
You know, for me, it actually ended up being sort of one of the silver linings of the pandemic. So we started, you know, with nothing else to do, we kind of started like putting together a little home studio, and we were like, well, let's just start recording, you know, and we'll at least start to get an idea. So when we do go into the studio, we'll, you know, have the songs fleshed out and all that. And then we started recording and we were like, this actually sounds good. This is actually pretty good. And then we kind of started to just talk to all of our friends who were also stuck at home with no touring, and they had set up little home recording areas in their houses. And, you know, one of the first calls that we made was to Jay Belarus, who literally had like an outdoor patio umbrella set up in his living room above his drum kit, and, you know, had his partner Jen, you know, engineering with all of their lifelong collection of mics that they were finally getting to use because they were home. So it kind of became this really cool turn of events where we would fly tracks to friends who were also sitting at home with nothing to do. And we got incredible players to contribute to the record because everybody was home and kind of desperate to be creative. And we were also isolated at the time, that this was kind of a way to commune and collaborate. So it, to be honest, you know, when we kind of let go of the idea of going into a proper studio and doing it, the world became our oyster.
There are so many guests on this record, and that speaks to you as a performer and as a musician, but also the collection of people that you've met, I guess, along the way, and specifically since you've moved to Nashville, people like Oliver Wood and AJ Croach. Like, there's a lot of Jay Belarus, who you've mentioned already. Carl Denson is on this record. Like, there are, Carl doesn't live in Nashville, but there are lots of people who appear on this record. How comforting it was it to have all of these great, first of all, great musicians, but also friends help you along with the process?
It was amazing. I mean, I just felt so lucky. I remember being like talking to Jesse Noah Wilson, who is my partner and also produced the record. And we were living together at the time. And I was like, I don't know. I don't want to bug him. And he's like, ask him. And every single person I asked was like, yes, please. And I really realized like what an amazing community of musicians, you know, I've gotten to be surrounded by for the, you know, majority of my career, you know, and it kind of made me realize like, oh, I have been at this for like a while, you know, like I've got some stuff under my belt. I've got some favors I can call in, and I've got just, you know, some really incredible friends who are musicians. So it felt very comforting, especially in a time where we're all so isolated. And so, you know, it was a lonesome time. And this was a way to kind of just feel your friends and be reminded like, oh yeah, I do have friends. I do have people that care about me. I do have people that support my music. Okay, cool. Felt really good.
It's a follow-up, of course. Avondale Drive is, of course, a follow-up to Rise, You Gotta Fall. And there are hints of some of the themes from To Rise, You Gotta Fall in the songs of Avondale Drive, at least the first half of the record, I think. How important was it for you? Obviously, To Rise, You Gotta Fall was an important record because it was a time in your life that was significant and meaningful to you and to what had gone on in your life to that point. Avondale Drive is sort of a new beginning, but you still reflect on some of the things that had happened to you or that you were still feeling, you know, going through trauma and divorce and estrangement and all of those sorts of things. Was it important for you to still get some of those feelings out because you still had, obviously, those are some of those are lifelong feelings, obviously, but was it important for you to revisit some of those things again, just to make a statement that, okay, I'm no longer there, I recognize, but I will also recognize them and sort of move on throughout the rest of the record?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think there's like this equation that people give you, right? Like if you've been in a relationship for 10 years, it takes half the time to get over that relationship. So my marriage was 10 years. I'm, you know, at a healthy 5-year mark now. And of course there's going to be some residual, you're processing. It's a lot to process. I think the difference, you know, in the songs that do touch on that trauma or the past, it's not as raw. It's not as like filled with pain. There's a lot more process, compassion, forgiveness in those songs. But you know, it takes a while to untease those complex emotions and to kind of let go and move on. You know, it's like not a light switch you just get to turn on and off. But I do think Avondale Drive, and I hope it comes across this way, as lighter. You know, I wanted to infuse some humor in it, you know, with a song like Friends, How to Do It. And, you know, there's also a lot of introspection. And I had a lot of time, as, you know, the majority of humanity did, to really sit and, you know, self-reflect.
Love to Spare is the song that you co-wrote with AJ. And first of all, amazing that another son of a famous musician is making music. I mean, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. How did y'all hook up and how did you write the song together?
I met AJ probably 20 years ago. We were both living in San Diego at the time, and I was really good friends with him and his late wife, Marlo. And they were just a part of like my community when I lived in San Diego. And AJ always felt like somebody I'd known for a long time. You know, you just meet certain people and it's like maybe you've known them in another life or something. So when I moved to Nashville 5 years ago, I had no idea that AJ was about to be my neighbor in Nashville. So after 20 years, we sort of reconnected and landed in the same neighborhood. And it was just instantly like my bud, my old friend. And he just writes such fun songs. I mean, he had the piano and he had the riff of, actually, no, he did this one on guitar. He had the guitar riff. And I went over there and he showed it to me. And it really just started, we were talking about, you know, him losing his wife and me becoming a divorcee and like how hard it is to, you know, kind of find, you know, people and the whole world of dating. And he's like, well, I don't really have so much problem meeting people, but I don't want to lead anybody on, you know, I'm not emotionally ready to be in a relationship. And I was like, I'm pretty sure, you know, that's dating. Like you don't have to commit to anybody. And it was sort of the blind leading the blind in this, you know, semi middle-aged being thrown back into the dating pool that we both found ourselves in. And it really didn't take long. You know, like I said, he had the riff and the melody popped into my head almost immediately. We wrote the lyrics in 30 minutes and we were off to Dino's to grab a burger down the road. So it's cool when it works like that because it starts conversational, you spit it out, and then you get to go hang out with your friend and eat burgers.
Feel musically speaks to this idea that you're not just a country crooner or you're not just a rock and roller. There's this blues and funk thing. There's time signature changes. Tell me about how Feel came to be, because it is so different from, I think, what people imagine you as, at least sonically.
Yeah. I mean, I was just sitting at the Wurlitzer piano and I was just, I'm not a piano player, but I can do enough that I can like write things and write, you know, the way that I feel something, which was that really strange time change, which I really liked. And I showed it to Jesse, my producer, and he was like, that's really cool. It's going to be an interesting thing to try to gel that shift with a full band, but I think we can do it. And I think he executed that really well, as did the players. But yeah, sometimes, you know, it's like there's mantras in these songs. And there's the things that I've learned that I know help me to remember, like feelings, you know, come and go, nothing is permanent, you know, having enough experience to know that this too shall pass. And then, you know, trying to emote that in the vocal performance, you know, the frustration, the release, the relief of knowing that nothing's permanent.
Let's switch to the second half of the record, because I think that's more present day, probably emotionally, and well, present day, I'm talking about 2021 probably, or somewhere in there, but Friends How to Do It. I mean, doing a song with Oliver Wood can only be fun. I don't think there's any other way to, we've had Oliver on the show a couple of times. I don't think there's any other way to describe hanging out with Oliver and making music with Oliver, right?
Yeah, Oliver is like seriously the coolest, kindest human, and it's consistent. He is like consistent. He is just that way. He is intrinsically a good-natured human. And he's always game for anything. And he's so generous with his time. And he's so talented. He's one of my favorite rhythm guitar players ever. He's got such a cool feel. And his voice is obviously incredible. I first met him and his brother, Chris, at Folk Alliance way back in like 2011. And at the time, Tim and I were performing a very brand new song that Tim had just written called Little Too Late. And we started playing it. And, you know, Folk Alliance is these tiny little hotel rooms and everybody sits in them, crams in them. And they were, the Wood Brothers were packing up their stuff when Tim and I started playing a Little Too Late. And instead of putting their instruments away, they just started playing along with us. Mm-hmm. And I heard the way that Oliver just instinctually started playing that song. And I loved it so much. And then I, of course, followed them for years to come and have since gotten to open for them and collaborate with them. And I just knew that this song needed him, and I love it. I just hope people can last to the end of the song when he gets to really take the reins and shine, because as soon as he starts singing the lead, you're just like, yes, so good.
You don't strike me as somebody who gets involved in socio-political issues a lot. But Mother's Daughter is a rallying cry for people who have been in terrible situations, you know, survivors of harassment and sexual assault. Was it important for you to write that song, and what inspired that song specifically?
Yeah, that was at a time I was watching the Christine Blasey Ford's testimony against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. And I just was watching that kind of unravel. And, you know, there was some graphic going around social media that said, you know, I believe her, and I posted it. And I immediately got this like backlash from friends, like dudes, friends that are like, really, seriously? And I was like, wow, really, seriously? And I went back and I watched the Anita Hill story, which is, of course, a very similar case 27 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was just totally gutted that, you know, the progress that we have made in hearing and listening to these women who are trying to help us evolve and make good choices and expect more and, you know, find true north in morality are the ones that are being, you know, shamed and pointed at. You know, in the case of these two women, they put themselves and their families in great danger to speak their truth. And for anybody to think that they did that flippantly or for attention is just enraging. Yeah. And that was the catalyst for the song.
As a solo artist, it must be hard to go on the road if you're not necessarily, to play to a large group of people, it must be hard because you're a solo artist, but you've had the good fortune to be on tour with Band of Heathens. You have a whole tour coming up where you're supporting a bunch of artists. How important is it for you not just to make a record and perform a great record, but how important is it for you to go out there and perform these songs live for people to hear them in a live setting?
I mean, I would say the pandemic kind of did two things to musicians. Either you miss the road a lot and are like chomping at the bit to get back out there, or you realized like, I actually really like being home, sleeping in my own bed, having a dog. Like, you know, the wear of the road is really real, and I've done it for a long time. And you know, I don't think you're ever really done paying your dues in this business. So I'm certainly not saying that, but I'd like to find more of a balance. That's my intention of home tour ratio. And I'd really like to play shows, you know, where there's a demand to play them. You know, I've done many tours where, you know, the majority were great. And then you have, you know, the shows that are poorly attended, and it can become disheartening. You know, it's expensive to take a band out on the road, of course. Yeah. So it's always trying to kind of find that balance, you know. And then you also make a record and you spend a lot of time recording the record. So for me, it's important for people to hear the recordings.
Yeah.
Of course, it's fun to play live, and I want to do that, and you have to do that. But I'd really love if people picked up the record and listened to the time capsule of what we created, because that to me is the record.
It's a great record. It's a beautiful record. I don't need to gush. We've already established that I'm a fan. Thank you so much for taking the time. Really appreciate it. Good luck on the few dates that you have with Little Feet, in support of Little Feet and Phil and Friends and all of that. And I'm sure another record is around the corner. I mean, you've had time to write and do stuff. So looking forward to that as well. Thanks so much for taking the time, Nikki. Really appreciate it. And continued success, whatever that looks like for you.
Thank you so much.
To check out tour dates and much more, visit NikkiBloom.com. If you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe to the podcast for many more great interviews and tunes. Before we leave you, let's listen to another track off of the forthcoming Avondale Drive. Here is Friends, How to Do It with Oliver Wood.
It's easy being angry, it's harder being sad. When loving turns from being good to being bad, it hurts my heart and spooks my soul to think of doing it again. So let's be friends, friends, let's be friends. Do you know how to do it? Can
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.